Morning. You can turn with us to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. But a few Sundays ago now, we finished up our study on memorizing Scripture and looked at some principles for how to memorize Scripture. And now this morning, we're going to begin looking at the thought of how to lead a person to Christ. How to lead a person to Christ, and just some principles from God's Word that will help us to share our faith when we're just out and about on a day-by-day basis, whether we're at work, the grocery store, the doctor's appointment, wherever it is that we find ourselves, that we'll always be ready to share Jesus with somebody that might need him. And someone once said this, they said that the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And when we stop to think about that statement, there's a lot of truth in that statement. And as Christian leaders, as pastors, part of our job is to influence people to be more soul conscious, to just everywhere that we go, be cautious of the fact that the people we're dealing with, they're not necessarily, you know, they might get on our nerves, they might, you know, upset us, they might even treat us wrong. But we need to see them as how God sees them and how Jesus sees them, and look beyond just the person and look to their soul. And yet sometimes a person will be very active in sharing the gospel, but they won't see much fruit. I mean, you think of somebody like Jeremiah in the Bible, right? He preached for years and never saw one convert. We think of Noah. The Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. He preached for all those years building the ark, and at the end of the day, the only people he saved was his family. And so part of learning how to share Christ and leading people to Christ is to also realize that, you know, you might share Christ with somebody, you might share Jesus with somebody, you might share the gospel with somebody, and you might share it with a ton of people and see very little to no fruit from it, because God just didn't have that for you at that time. And but the results, so to speak, that's not our area. The results are God's area. What comes of what we do for God is God's responsibility. It's the responsibility of us. And as pastors and Christian leaders, all we're to do is to train every available member, not only to be available, but also effective. And so here over the next several weeks, we're going to look at some truths that every Christian ought to remember as we go out into the world, as we seek to prepare to help another soul spend an eternity with Christ. I want you to imagine this morning that you're at a park, and you're there at the park, you're enjoying the sunshine, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a stranger comes up to you. A stranger approaches you, and they tell you that there's a way to fix all of your brokenness, to restore peace to your life, but there's a catch. And the catch is that this person doesn't really like you, and they don't even care about you. They don't even care about your struggles. Now, how likely are you to trust that person? Probably not too likely. If they come up to you and say, I have all the answers for everything you've ever been searching for, but I really don't care about you. Well, you're not going to want to pay them too much attention. You're not going to want to pay them too much mind. And that scenario might sound strange, but that's exactly how some people look at God. That's how some people view God. And today, we're going to explore the crucial truth that before we can lead anyone to Christ, we must first start with the undeniable truth of God's love for every individual. And it's his love that makes the good news of salvation so powerful and so inviting. And so you're there in John chapter 3, and we're going to look again at perhaps one of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16, but it encapsulates the entire gospel message in one sentence. It takes it and it wraps it into one nice little package, and it puts a bow on top. And so you're there, John chapter 3, and notice there, if you would, verse number 16. The Bible says there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse here, John 3:16, is much more than just words. You know, sometimes we read certain scriptures, we read certain verses, and they become so second nature that really they just become more words. They just become, you know, something we've read, something we've memorized. But this verse is more than just that. This verse is a declaration of God's love for everyone. No matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've come from, this is a declaration that God loves them. And the sad truth this morning is that some people don't believe that God loves them. Some people don't believe it. I remember years ago now, we had this couple, they came to church, and afterwards, the lady had raised her hand for salvation after the service, and we took them out to lunch after the service, and we're talking to her, and I went through the gospel and went through the plan of salvation with her, and you could tell that she wanted to get saved. You could tell she was close, that she was ready, but this was what she was getting hung up on. She kept looking at me and saying, "I just don't know how God could love me." And no matter how many verses I showed her, no matter how much I tried to assure her that, yes, God loves you, she just would not make that commitment. She just would not get saved because she just thought that God didn't love her. And I don't know whatever became of her. The number she gave me to call her and keep in touch eventually got disconnected, and so I didn't have an address for her, and so we lost touch. I don't know whatever became of her. And but a lot of people today, they're in that same boat. They don't believe that God loves them. They believe, or they may believe, that God is angry. They may believe that God is distant. They may believe that God is a God who condemns them for their sins. And now we know that if they don't get saved, then yes, they will be condemned for their sins, and they will face punishment for their sins. But before anyone can come to Christ, they must first understand that God loves them unconditionally right where they are. So you think about, you know, years ago when you got saved, wherever it was you got saved, wherever you were in life at that point, that's where God loved you. That God saw you and he reached down to you and he outstretched his loving arms and he wrapped them around you and he loved you and he saved you. And now one day you're going to go to heaven and spend eternity with him for all of eternity, forever. And that's what God wants for everybody. I think about a father and son, and they're walking through a busy marketplace, and you know, the father, you know, no doubt he loves his son very dearly. He loves his son very much. But as they walk, the son begins to feel lost among the crowds. And the boy becomes anxious. He looks around. He's convinced that his father might have abandoned him, might have left him, might have, you know, forgotten him. And we think about the father, and what if the father had stopped and said, "I've been with you the entire time, and I'm not going anywhere. I love you." Well, obviously, the son's fears, they would begin to stop, they would begin to melt away, and he would start to feel safe again. Well, in that same way, Many people feel lost in their sin. Many people think that, well, God is angry at them. But God's love is constant. And God's love is reaching out to them, just like the Father to the Son. And that's the first truth that they must hear, that God loves them no matter what. That God loves them no matter what. And so when we start to share the gospel with others, we need to make sure that they understand this essential truth, that God loves them. You'll never be able to go anywhere else in the plan of salvation until you first get them to realize that God loves them despite what it is they've done. And without this foundation, people will feel that God is distant. People will feel that God is cold. People will feel that God is punishing, and they won't see any reason to turn to Him. And so this morning I want to give you a few thoughts on starting with God's love. And the first one is very simply this: how we can communicate God's love. Number one, use Scripture. Number one, use Scripture. So again, John 3:16, that's a perfect starting point. It's clear, it's simple, it's profound. And remind them that God sent His Son to save and not to condemn. You're there in John. Go over, if you would, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And who'd like to read there verse 47? John chapter 12 and verse number 47. All right, I'll read this one here. Verse number 47. The Bible says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And so here we see, again, Jesus emphasizes that His purpose when He came into this world, it was not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And this reinforces for us again that God's heart is for salvation. It's not for judgment. And so the very first thing we need to do when we're sharing the gospel is use Scripture, use the Bible, use the Word of God. And then number two, this morning, not only use Scripture, but then show through actions. Show through actions. Oftentimes, words are not enough. You know, you say to somebody, "I love you." Well, eventually, you have to remember that love is an action word. Mm-hmm. That, you know, eventually those words become meaningless without some action behind them. And we need to show God's love through kindness. We need to show God's love through patience. We need to show God's love through generosity in our everyday life. And your actions will back up the truth of God's love. You don't have to turn there, just listen to it. Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so Our actions as Christians, they are what reflect God's love. They are what reflect God's goodness, and they are a testimony to the world. And so by showing kindness, by showing patience, by showing generosity, we point others to God's love. Romans 13:10, the Bible says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Again, we see that love, when shown through actions, fulfills God's law. It's a reminder that genuine love for others should be displayed through our everyday behavior. Every single day, our behavior should reflect God's love. 1 John 3:18, the Bible says, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And again, we see this emphasizes that love It's more than just words. It must be demonstrated through actions. And showing God's love through our actions, that's a powerful witness. When we love somebody and we show them that love, they will remember that love from a Christian. But then thirdly, and finally this morning, we see that we not only need to use Scripture and show through actions, but then the third truth, and perhaps the most important of all, is be patient. Is be patient. Because people who believe God doesn't love them, they need to hear this message multiple times. Sometimes you might find yourself witnessing to somebody multiple times. More than once. More than twice. More than three times. And sometimes it might seem like, man, are they ever going to get this? And you might become frustrated. You might become discouraged. But whatever you do, don't rush them to accept the gospel. But just, you know, gently keep reminding them of his love. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, a truth that helps us be patient with others is to remember that God is patient with us. God is, you know, if anybody had a reason not to be patient with us, it's God. But God's patient with us. He takes his time with us. He waits for all to come to repentance. And that verse there in Peter shows us his desire for everyone to know his love, for everyone to be saved, encouraging us as Christians then to practice patience as we share the gospel, as we witness and as we share Jesus with others. Just be patient, because you never know when they're going to get saved. You never know when they're going to trust Christ. And so we just need to be patient at it. James 5:7, the Bible says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain." Again, this verse here uses the metaphor of a farmer waiting patiently for the crops to grow. And just as a farmer, you know, that farmer, they go, they plant their seed. You know, I have very rarely seen a farmer plant some seeds and 5 minutes later the seed pops up. I've never seen that happen, not once. And I'm not even that big of a farmer. I know very little about farming, but I know for a fact that you don't put a seed in the ground and all of a sudden it just pops up. It doesn't work that way. You need to have patience with it. They need to wait for the harvest. And likewise, we must be patient in sharing God's love. We must be patient in sharing the gospel, knowing that people, you know, sometimes people, they just may need time to come to understand. Because remember, Corinthians, the Bible says that the devil has blinded their eyes to the truth. And so those who are not saved, those who do not know Christ, they are blinded to the truth. And so you go, you tell them that God loves them, Satan has blinded their eyes to that truth. They don't believe it. They can't accept it because their eyes have been blinded to it. Romans 2:4, the Bible says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." You see, this morning, God's patience and kindness are what lead people to repentance. And this teaches us that patience is part of how we share his love, gently drawing others to him over time. And so this morning, when we approach someone to share the message of Christ, we need to remember that the first thing they need to know is that God loves them. Because without that truth, they won't be able to fully accept the Savior. Because it's God's love that is the starting point. That is the foundation upon which the gospel stands. And if we start with God's love, eventually, over time, hearts will soften, And the invitation to salvation will become a beautiful, inviting call rather than just a distant, cold offer. Because again, to some, that's what God is. He's distant. He's far away, you know, because we can't see him. We can't hold him. We can't reach out and touch him. He's this God, this being that's in heaven somewhere far away that we don't quite understand. And for some, that's how they view God, as a cold, distant offer. And so this morning, the challenge for us this week is simply this. Just think of one person that you know, that they might need, or they might feel far from God. They might feel that God doesn't love them. And take a moment this week, number one, to pray for them. But then take a moment this week to share with them, you know, just how deeply God loves them. Just how much God loves them. Just how much God cares for them. And whether it's through a conversation in person, whether it's through a text message, a phone call, maybe you send them a letter, maybe you do a kind action for them, whatever it is. But just make sure that they know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God loves them. And not only does God love them, but God wants to save them. And, you know, maybe, you know, you're somebody and you say, I'm just not sure how to start. Begin with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But start with that first part. For God so loved the world. Who's in the world? Everybody. You talk to your friend this week, your family member, and you share that verse and you just ask them, well, are you part of the world? Oh, yeah, duh. Well, then, if you're part of the world, then God loves you. And let's, this week, just seek to be soul winners. Be people who are soul conscious. Begin with love. Because love never fails. The Bible teaches us that. In Corinthians, you know, everything else may fade and fail and fall and pass away. But love stands. Love remains. And so this week, let's seek to show people the love of Christ. Let's pray.